gum out yet there a minute ago. So I'm like, man, I've done that once or twice before, get up in the pulpit and I'm trying to get rid of gum and it's a mess. What a bad thing. Hey, good morning. Maggie got a better good morning than I did, so I'm going to give you all one more chance. Good morning. All right, there you go. That makes me feel better. good to be here this morning. It's great to get to gather together, even in these like weird and crazy and upside down times. At least we can look at each other, our church family, our brothers and sisters in Christ, and gathering here as a source of stability. And even greater than each other and this is our risen Lord and Savior Jesus. He is the rock that we are told throughout Scripture to build our lives upon. And so even when things are weird and crazy and unsettled, we can bank everything on Jesus. And if you wonder what that really looks like and maybe question, can I really, talk to me after worship, because I'm living proof that yes, 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 you can. I've shared from the very beginning on and on about my love of the outdoors, love to especially paddle and fish. Used to hunt a lot. I can't really do that much anymore with my vision, but just love the outdoors. But I've also been clear, quite the opposite of being outside and active. I love to kick my feet up and sit back and do almost nothing, like especially with a big bowl of popcorn. That's what I'm talking about. Sit back, watch some TV, watch a movie, whatever. I just love it. In fact, that's really, really one of the best ways that I kind of unwind in the evening, is to just sit back and watch some TV, again, with one of God's greatest gifts, and that being freshly popped popcorn with a lot of salt on it. Good stuff. Well, I'm young enough that I didn't grow up watching the series Mission Impossible, the TV show. Maybe some of you in here did. Anyone ever seen the show Mission Impossible before? Yeah, a couple of y'all. I'm so much younger than everybody. I didn't grow up. Hey, I'm 48. That's... Yeah, exactly. Yeah, thank God for ibuprofen after working in the yard all weekend. But anyway, so I didn't grow up getting to watch the television show Mission Impossible, but my parents did. Friends, you know, parents did. I knew about it. I'd heard about it. And then out comes the movie series with Tom Cruise, Mission Impossible. So I've got more experience with that. I've seen several. I guess there's six of those movies in that series. I haven't seen all six, but I did see there's a boxed set, and so maybe I'll get that and pop a whole bunch of popcorn, and someday when it's 50 below out, we'll just watch movies all day. But anyway, I know about the movie series Mission Impossible, and so I looked up, what's the history? Where did it come from? Where did the show originally get based upon? And there was an impossible mission force that was created to go out and, guess what? Accomplish impossible missions. I mean, it was good fighting evil, good against bad, and of course, good always won. Good wins, and so they weren't really facing impossible missions. My question, though, when you hear the title, is who wants to be a part of an impossible mission force? Like, who says, "Ooh, yeah, I want to do that"? Impossible, count me in. Who wants to be a part of that kind of team? But they got a few people, Leonard Nimoy being one of them, that did that. And they went out and they accomplished their missions. And so then I wonder, well, why didn't they change the name of the show? Why didn't they call it Mission Possible? Because clearly after a few weeks and they'd accomplished all their missions, they were doing what they were supposed to do, but yet they kept it Mission Impossible. I think it's catchy. It's exciting. Well, the truth is, and the reality is, you and I are also engaged in an impossible mission, or it may seem impossible at least at times. We are engaged in a spiritual battle, good versus evil, light pushing back darkness. And it may seem impossible, it may seem daunting, but we can't fail. One, we can't fail because it is far too important. We're engaged in a war for the hearts and souls of mankind. forced to spend an eternity either in a glorious paradise beyond any of our wildest dreams, or in a place that burns that's called the lake of fire, worse than we could ever imagine. We're engaged in this battle and we cannot fail, one, because it's far too important, but two, because we're ambassadors and missionaries for the King of Kings. Filled with the Holy Spirit, we can't fail. It may seem impossible, but it is fully possible through the power of God. So as we talked about earlier, we've talked about for weeks, we're in the middle of a sermon series. Actually, we're winding down this sermon series. We've looked at what it means to be a believer, born-again believer and follower of Jesus, how we get that that name of disciple because we have given our lives to the Lord and been saved by grace through faith, and we learned that it was not by our own works. Nothing that we could ever do can save us. Then we've looked at, what does that make us? It's part of a team, part of the church, the bride of Christ, the body of Christ. We've looked at what's the purpose of the church. We've looked at what are our roles within the body. And last week, we looked at then how is Ledge Rock seeking to fulfill all those things that we've learned over the last few weeks, and that is our vision. And I explained our vision. I didn't preach a sermon. I just talked and spoke a little bit about what is our vision. And that is just simply two words, building relationships. Building relationships with the Lord and building relationships with each other with the intent to build relationships with everyone to help them build a relationship with the Lord. So there's a quick overview of the series that we've been in, a quick overview of our vision. And last week I failed to mention like my tagline. And I know a couple of your spiritual oversight team members really liked that tagline. And I thought, well, I need to share that with you. So as I picture us, the church, Ledge Rock, and our roles together and how it all fits, my vision is I see a group of believers growing and serving together. No one left behind, and no one left alone. So that kind of describes a little bit about my vision for us building relationships together. And so now today and next week, we're going to look at what's our mission. What's the mission statement of Ledge Rock Community Church? And it's simply four words, to know and grow, and then serve and go. And so in these coming weeks and months and years, you're going to hear from the pulpit and through lots of announcements over and over again, what is our vision and what is our mission? Building relationships, and how are we doing that? We're knowing and growing, serving and going. And so today, I'm going to talk about the first two, knowing and growing, and then next week will be serving and going. And then I'm going to do one final week that will, at least the best of my ability, try to outline and overview everything that we've gone over the past 6 or 8 weeks. In 1 week, we're going to just touch on all of it. So don't miss that one. Don't miss any week, but especially don't miss in 3 weeks. That's my aim and that's my goal. But for now, today, it's not a sermon, nor will next week. Not a sermon. So if you're visiting with us, I'm glad you're here. Know that this is not typical. I'm not expounding some of God's word, but instead I'm talking about Ledge Rock specifically and how are we seeking to fulfill the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. So understanding that, not a sermon, but this is absolutely vital information. It's very, very important. And if you come regularly, you need to know who we are and what we're about and how we're seeking to glorify the Lord here in Ely and ultimately have a presence globally. So it's very, very important. We have to understand those several things. So join me as we open up in prayer and we'll get into today's message. Father, we come before you this beautiful morning, praising and glorifying you. Great is your name. And Lord, I thank you for the folks that meet here and make up your body that we call Ledge Rock Community Church. And Lord, I pray for guidance, direction, and wisdom for each of us as we seek to know you more intimately and help others to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. So Lord, be with us this morning. Be amongst us. Fill this place with your Holy Spirit. And Lord, use me to speak truth and words of wisdom from your word and how it is that we can be about knowing and loving and glorifying you. So Father, use us now and in the coming months and years. In Jesus' name I pray all this. Amen. So one of the things that this whole COVID pandemic has proven to us, as brutal as it's been, as tough as it's been, as uncomfortable as it's been, even scary as it's been, it has proven to us more and more the deep need, the desperate need for deep relationships, the desperate need for each other in the midst of trials and tribulations and difficult times like this. This pandemic has proven to us over and over the desperate need for a clear and repeatable discipleship process. Boy, has it shown us that. And so we have to be cautious and careful not to fall in the trap of being an attractional place where we simply try to just get people in the doors. What we really need to do is connect them with Jesus as we connect with them together. So this pandemic has been very eye-opening, and I think it solidified the need for deep relationships and mature followers of Jesus that can make other mature followers of Jesus. And so we shared our vision, which is two words. Good job, building relationships. Now, from the each week, we're going to talk about that more and more and more, and you're going to just know that. What's Ledge Rock? Who are they? We're about building relationships. Good job. Our mission statement is how we fulfill that vision, how we see this all fitting together and happening. Again, four words: know, grow, serve, and go. And the first one is to know. We have to know. Now, we're going to talk about know and what this looks like. Well, one, the scripture can be tough. I can remember my own story, my own testimony as God really got a hold of my life, began to grow and mature me. The way that he did that was he gave me a hunger for God's word. He gave me a burden and a desire to read God's word. And as I read God's word, I didn't know the difference between the New and Old Testament at first. I didn't know. I just started reading and doing devotions each week, and I began to read more and more scripture. And it was like the Spirit of God just opened up my heart and my eyes, and I began to just hunger for God's word. And the more I ingested it, the more it made sense. And I would read a verse and go, wow, that seems like it's really important. And so I didn't know what to do. I don't like to mark up my Bibles, at least not the one I was reading. So I wouldn't underline it. I would just memorize it. I'd underline it in my heart. And so I began to memorize more and more scripture. And as I look back now, having read through the Bible multiple times, the verses I read are some of the most important verses in all of scripture. And no one told me memorize this and this and this. Just the Spirit did an amazing work. It's what happens when we get into God's word and have a heart for God's word. But know that sometimes God's word can be tough. God's word can really step on our toes. Sometimes God's word can be rough and even seem kind of harsh, and we read it and think, oh my goodness, especially when Lord Jesus speaks. He can say some incredibly powerful words, especially when he spoke to religious leaders. Man, he didn't mince words. He really called a spade a spade. And so today we're going to look at two different passages of scripture. But in this first one, Jesus is speaking some chilling words that really impacted me, really impacted my life. In fact, you can say that scripture has changed my life, and this passage of scripture has changed my ministry. It's changed everything that I do. So we're going to be in the book of Matthew, chapter 7 this morning. If you've got a copy of God's word, and I hope you do, I hope you bring something along to be able to read God's word. It's so important in our life. Turn to Matthew 7. We're going to be in verse 21 to begin with. Otherwise, we do have it on the screen here for you. Today, Matthew 7 is the end of the Sermon on the Mount, one of the best, greatest sermons ever spoken, ever preached. Jesus was speaking to religious leaders of the day and also droves of followers. He was becoming very popular, and he had called his disciples. He was in the midst of beginning and kicking off his ministry, first to the 12 and later to just just droves and droves of people, and they gathered along the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus just changed everything. He said, it's not about the law anymore. In fact, you can break the law just by thinking impure thoughts. You've already committed sin, and it changed everything. He spoke about the kingdom of God and the fact that it's incredible. I did a very in-depth study of the Sermon on the Mount, and it's powerful. And these words right now that we're about to read are very, very powerful, very chilling. And again, they changed my ministry. Jesus is speaking about false prophets, and we'll expound a little bit more here in a moment. But join me as I read God's word. Matthew 7, verse 21, Jesus is speaking. And he says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name and drive out demons in your name and do many miracles in your name?' And then I will announce to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you lawbreakers.'" I can still remember when I began vocational ministry, and as I got to know the inner workings of a new church, and I began to discover some church leaders that didn't have a testimony. And when I say testimony, maybe you're not familiar with that term. What I'm talking about is their faith story, their salvation experience, when they moved from being dead in sin to alive in Christ. Let me tell you, that's not a long, long process. That's a moment in time when we, by faith, trust in Jesus and turn from our sins. And the Bible describes that as being regenerated or born again, one of my favorite biblical terms, where we pass from death to life, and now we are dead and now alive, and now we're a child of God versus being an enemy of His. It's a big deal. And I was shocked when there were leaders that could not explain in any way how they ever came to faith in Jesus. They talk about church membership, talk about a lot of things they'd done for many, many years, maybe decades upon decades, but never when they had trusted in Jesus as Lord and Savior. Never when by faith they had received God's grace in their life. And I just remember weeping over that. How can this be? Maybe we've missed the mark. I'm this new believer just growing and loving the Lord and being filled with the Spirit and just overwhelmed by the goodness of Jesus. And here there are people that have been active in church for decades and have no idea what I'm talking about. As I share my love of Jesus, and it impacted me. In fact, it just changed my entire ministry. And so now everything I do, everything is based upon the gospel of Jesus. I take absolutely nothing for granted with anyone. Never have, nor will I ever. I've heard it so many times since we've come. People, you guys coming up to me after worship and just saying, "Oh, Pastor, thank you for sharing the gospel every week. Thank you for sharing the truth of Jesus every week." That's who I am, partly because of this passage of Scripture right here, partly because of what Jesus explains right here. It's just changed my heart and everything. Now, if you want a glimpse into who I am, my heart is that no one that has ever heard me speak will have to stand in judgment and say to God, I didn't know. I didn't know that I was a sinner. And I didn't know that I had to give my life to Jesus. And that if I do, that you will change me and save me and make me new. My heart is that no one that ever hears me talk will stand in judgment and have to say or hear these words. So let's take a second and just explore what these verses mean. Verse 21, again, Jesus is speaking to religious leaders, and he's warning followers about coming false prophets. So there's a lot going on. Remember, we always read Scripture in its context, and this context is huge. The Sermon on the Mount, understanding what was going on. There'd been 400 years that God had not spoken to his people through a prophet. So mankind had raised up leaders, and they had added to God's rules, added to the law, and made lots and lots of rituals and religious activities. And the people had bought it hook, line, and sinker. And Jesus was coming to say, it's not about what you do, it's about your heart. Changing everything. And so Jesus is warning about false teachers, false prophets. He's warning all of us that there are some that think checking off boxes is enough. And he says, not at all. Again, verse 21, not everyone who says to me, who cries out, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. What Jesus is saying is, it's a lot more than saying, oh God, look at all the things that I've done in your name. Oh God, I went to church every week. Oh God, I did all these things. We'll talk more about that in a moment. But only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven, and that's someone that is following God's will after seeking his heart and knowing him on an intimate level, is what Jesus is talking about. The next verse, 22, on that day many will say to me, Lord, Lord, he's talking about judgment day when they stand before the holy God of gods, the Ancient of Days. Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name and drive out demons in your name and do many miracles in your name? He's saying to those that have been religious for a long time, those that will come to him and say, but Lord, I taught Sunday school for 36 years. But Lord, I made tons and tons of money and gave 30% to the work of the church. But Lord, I attended every week. I never missed one. Well, rarely did I ever miss any. He's saying to those that did all kinds of good things for all kinds of years, he says, we did all these things, even driving out demons and doing miracles and all kinds of things in the name of Jesus. It's not enough. It's not enough to be religious and work hard and try to keep the law. And then the next verse, 23, Jesus says, then I will announce to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you lawless ones or lawbreakers or evildoers. Some translations translate it. Then I will announce to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, those that are far from me. What Jesus is saying is it's so much more than our actions. It's about our hearts. The Bible says, be cautious, be wary of those that do good things, but their hearts are far from him. Jesus is warning all of us that it's so much more than our actions. We can do all kinds of good things. We can work in the church all week long. And if our heart is far from him, we'll be forced to face an incredible judgment that none of us want to even think about. Depart from me, you lawbreakers. He's saying that it's about knowing him and him knowing us, having an intimate relationship with him. Our job, our number one job here at Ledgerock is to make sure that as few souls as possible ever hear Jesus say those words to them. It's what drives me. It's what motivates me. It's why I preach the way I do. It's how I go about everything that I do. It's so as few people as possible will ever have to hear Jesus say, I never knew you. Depart from me. So how is it that you and I, that Ledgerock, can keep that from happening, can minister in that way? Well, one is that we build relationships with people. We build relationships with people that they don't have to hear those words ever be spoken. We love people, and then we build a relationship with them. We love God and build a relationship with him so that others, we can love them, and they can know and love Jesus. We know and love God, and we know and love people so that they too can know and love the Lord. We know and love the Lord so that we can know and love people so that they can know and love the Lord. How do we do it? We know and love the Lord, and we know and love people so that they can know and love the Lord. Repeat. and repeat. We build relationships with them so they can build relationships with Jesus. First, we have to have a relationship with Jesus. You and I, together as a faith family, we know and love Jesus. And we know and love a lost and dying world. We know and love Jesus. And we know and love a lost and dying world so that they can know and love Jesus. I love the mission statement. Four simple words: know and grow and serve and go. And first is know. Before anything else can happen, people have to know Jesus. Know him in an intimate way. Know him on a personal level. Have a relationship with him. And let me tell you, the best way, the simplest way, the clearest way for that to happen is to have a relationship with them first, to help them build a relationship with Jesus. Don't ever let him speak those words to us or anyone that we know. So the first thing is we have to know. Know the Lord, know each other, and know our community, and ultimately know people all over the globe to help them know the Lord. The second part of our mission statement is to grow. Grow in that relationship. Now, I'll be honest, my heart in the past, I struggle with pride. I'm sure that all of us can relate to some degree, but as a pastor, it's easy to fall into the trap of just wanting to see people, bodies, come in the door. In fact, it can be very, very prideful to look out at a full sanctuary and say, wow, look at that. This church is just busting at the seams. And I'll be honest, there's a part of me in my past that's wanted to see that, just absolute full church, and use that as a gauge, as a barometer to the success of my ministry. Am I being effective by how many bodies are in the pews? Be honest, that's part of my past. It's part of my reality. And then I read verses of scripture like Colossians chapter 1. Verse 9, that's where we're going to be going next as we look at this grow idea and how important it is to know and understand there's so much more than just simple attendance. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Colossae, but so much to us today, especially leaders as we seek to lead the church and move forward in a godly, Christ-honoring direction. What are we truly seeking to do? Listen to this. Colossians 1, beginning in verse 9, Paul writes, and he says, For this reason also, since the day we heard this, we haven't stopped praying for you. We are asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the saints' inheritance in the light. What Paul is saying is that they're praying for growth and maturity within the church. They're praying for the family, the faith family, growing in the knowledge of his will and being filled with the Spirit and joyfully knowing and serving together in all grace and humility. I'll be honest, in the past, part of still today, how I gauge some of the success of my ministry is bodies in the pew. It's how full is the church? What was the attendance today? How well are we doing? But that's just one barometer. It's so much more than that, so much, much deeper than that. Now, it's about, instead of filling a church, it's about filling souls. Filling souls with the knowledge of him and the knowledge and understanding of his will. It's about filling souls with the Spirit of God. How do we tell what we're doing? It's how are we growing disciples? Making mature disciples that can then make other mature disciples. It's much easier to fill a church. It's a lot harder to fill a soul. much more difficult. But this pandemic has shown us so clearly it's way more than church attendance that people need. It's a deep and maturing and growing relationship with the Lord, and a deep and growing and maturing relationship with each other. Persecution throughout the ages has been good for the church. How can that be? Because it weeds out the chaff from the wheat. It weeds out those nominal or not even true believers. They're gone. No longer are they a false witness for the work of the Lord. And now you've got true, dedicated believers, sometimes forced to move, taking the gospel with them into difficult or even unreached places, and now starting new churches filled with Spirit-filled believers. This pandemic and persecution, even time itself, has proven to us it's way more than coming once a week for 30 minutes or an hour or whatever on a Sunday. It's about growing and maturing in your relationship with the Lord. We must have a clear and repeatable discipleship process. We have to have way more in our strategy than trying to get bodies in the door, but trying to get souls and spirits filled with the Spirit of God. For you and I to be effective, for you and I to be the body and the bride of Christ, it's so much more than the 1 hour a week on Sunday. Growing and maturing in our faith, growing and maturing as a follower of Jesus, to know Him and know each other, and to grow in our relationship with Him and to grow in our relationship together. And so how do we do that? How can we grow in our relationship with the King and grow in our relationship together? Well, I think it's a fairly simple process. We do it together. We do it together. And so we'll use the life group mentality. We'll use the small group, life group method of growing and maturing disciples, growing in our relationship with Him and growing in our relationship together. So what's that look like? Well, I don't know. That's a great question. But what I see is virtually everyone that makes Ledge Rock their regular worship home being a part of some sort of a life group. All types of groups, all ages, all different days of the week, all kinds of different locations, super organic, very fluid, but centered and based upon the gospel of Jesus. Using tools like Right Now Media. Some groups might be young mothers, and they need something very different than senior, mature followers of Jesus. We may have a new believers class or group that doesn't know much at all. We need a very mature person to mentor and love and disciple those. We may have groups that are based upon fishing. How great would that be? And they need something quite different. The point is, it doesn't matter where you're at, or we all know where we're going, and that's to look more like Jesus. And the only way to get there is to do it together in a relationship manner, growing and maturing and serving and loving the Lord together, no one left behind and no one left alone. The purpose of the groups will also be to multiply, to reach out to those that are outside, that are not churched, that are lost and still in the darkness, to reach out through relationships and invite them into the group and discover who Jesus is and what following Jesus actually looks like on a day in, day out, weekly basis in a relational manner, and introduce them into a relationship with Jesus. And then introduce them to the rest of the church family. It's our evangelism strategy along with our discipleship strategy. How do we do all this? Together, in relationships, building relationships with Jesus to build relationships with others. It all fits and ties together to know Him and to grow in our relationship. The purpose of the groups will be to multiply, divide and conquer and reorganize and make two out of one and make four out of the two that started with one, and just reach Ely with the gospel through relationships life groups, life group mentality. I know that your leadership and I, we struggle with how can we minister to 200 active adults. We can't. We're terrible at it. I can't pastor everybody, but you can. You can pastor 3 or 4 or 5. These groups will minister to each other and care for each other and serve each other and know each other and love each other, always looking for who can you invite in to introduce into a relationship with yourself, to introduce into a relationship with Jesus, knowing and loving God and knowing and loving others so they can know and love Jesus. Jesus gave us the great commandment to love God with all of our being and to love others. It's the greatest commandment. There is nothing like it. Love God and love others. And then he tasked us with going out and making disciples of all the nations, everywhere that we go. That's a tall order. It's a big, big, big responsibility to love God more than anything and love others. It seems like mission impossible. Seems like an impossible mission, but I know for a fact, together, you and I are so much stronger than we are on our own. What may seem like an impossible mission, you and I together, Ledge Rock, it's mission possible. We can do it together, knowing and loving God, and knowing and loving others, building relationships with the Lord, and building relationships all over. This is just the first week, the first glimpse at our vision and our mission. The next week is about serving and then going. And finally, the week after, where we tie it all together and try to cap it all up. So thank you for being here. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time together. And I pray that as we digest what we've heard, as we look forward at how it is that we can be your church, that it begins to make sense, that we can't do this alone, we're so much better and stronger together, that we make each other better, and we need each other because this whole life of knowing and loving you is tough and difficult. And so, Father, I pray that in each of our lives, you begin to spur in us new relationships and desire to know our neighbors and to love them and see them come to a saving relationship with Jesus, so that no one has to stand in judgment and say, I didn't know. I didn't know. Lord, forgive us for our sins and use us in a huge way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.